Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Aging Younger with David and Stephanie Tippy, founders of the Anti-Aging Clinic in Lauderhill, Florida, where the alternatives matter. Now here are your hosts, David and Stephanie Tippy.
Hello to our listeners. I'm David Tippy. Welcome to the Aging Younger Show.
And this is Stephanie Tippy. Welcome to Aging Younger Radio. David and I broadcast live every Wednesday from our clinic in Tamarack, Florida. We can be reached at 954-742-4430, and you can visit us online at livelonger123.com. Before we begin tonight's show, I'd like to thank the Blog Talk staff for having the wherewithal to feature this show as a staff pick, and it will be out on the Blog Talk Radio homepage starting Friday night, midnight, for 24 hours. So thank you very much, Blog Talk Radio staff, and thank you to our 115,000 global listeners, because if it were not for you, we would not be where we are today, and we would not be able to bring to you the wonderful content such as this evening, where we have a young woman with us. Her name is Lori Beck. And the reason why David and I are very excited about having Lori join us is because everybody knows about Anti-Aging Clinic and Aging Younger Radio that we are all about the natural alternatives. One of our mantras is that there is life without chemo, and that is a direct Aging Younger quote. So Lori Beck is going to be joining us in about 1 minute, and she is here living to tell her incredible surviving incurable cancer story without having killed her mother, her granny, or her ex. Now, that being said, Lori, welcome to Aging Younger Radio.
Welcome, Lori.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Well, we are excited to have you because you are living testimony to our 8 steps to aging younger, all about the natural alternatives. So I am really glad you're here to share with our listeners your story and how you were able to take a diagnosis. If I read your book correctly, you were told by your doctor, I think it was in 2006, that you had incurable cancer, you had 2 weeks to live, you should go home and get your affairs in order, and then come back and start your chemo to live out your 2 weeks. Is that correct?
I had 2 weeks to get my affairs in order, and then they wanted to immediately start chemo. So I want to be clear about that. As far as my diagnosis was grim, and there was no... there's no really cure for what I have, but they also couldn't say what my outcome would be.
Okay.
So it was more that I had the 2 weeks to go home and I had to start immediate chemo.
And what was your diagnosis? What cancer did they diagnose you with, Lori?
Well, originally, when I had my blood work done, they thought it was leukemia because of my white cell count. And then as I went and had further testing, being I had the bone marrow biopsy, et cetera, they discovered that it was actually non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, but it also had marginal cell leukemia, which is something that they said they rarely see. So I kind of had a combination of the two.
So what was your initial reaction?
Shock. non-belief, because it didn't make sense, being that I am I'm a wellness expert, and I take care of people, so I couldn't even fathom it.
And as, being a wellness expert, I'm hoping that you were living or walking your talk, then you were eating an alkaline diet, I assume, at the time, and everything.
I ate very clean, and I was very aware. Being, you know, I don't want to. Maybe expert isn't the right word, because there's so many people that have so many degrees and really much more than me. My forte was that I have a Pilates studio. So I really honed in on working physically with the body. But as I journeyed through my process, I realized that obviously it goes deeper than just the physical aspect of, you know, the body. We have to actually incorporate all of it.
You're talking body, mind, spirit, I hope.
Yes, I am. Yes. Yes.
And we totally are on the same page. So You knowing that, and you living the lifestyle of a health person, a wellness person who encourages other people to be healthy, to explain your reaction when you heard the word chemo. Because I know your reaction, I know what your husband's reaction was. And they were two different
reactions. So, again, being that, you know, there's way more to the story, and that's actually part of the eight lessons that I learned along the way. So I always approached whatever I was doing physically. I wasn't aware. I mean, I knew that you had to bring in the mind and the body and the spirit and connect them all, but I wasn't quite there yet. So I do believe that this may have been kind of a precursor to teaching me that lesson. So when the time came that I got my diagnosis and the doctors basically stated that I needed to start immediate chemo, I was horrified, because based on what I knew, although I was ignorant to that world, I knew that chemo was a very harsh approach. I hate to even say that, but a strong way of going in and kind of powering the body. So I didn't feel good about it. And part of the, again, the blessing in my story is I actually got a second opinion. And then I got a third opinion. And the third opinion was the one that I went with, because they stated that I should do what's called watchful waiting. Because if I did the chemo, that would maybe even compromise my body even more. And so I had to...
Most likely it would have compromised the body more. It would have just taken your entire immune system down.
Well, yes. And so because my lymphatic system was already very, very weak, yes, it would have taken it to a place of, I don't know, maybe no return. We don't know. And when I read about my diagnosis and what I had and potentially what the chemo would do, and when a doctor looks at you and says, well, we can't guarantee, you know, you just kind of process all that and think about what your options and what path you want to go.
So you opted not to do the chemo because you were smart enough to have three different opinions, and you found somebody who was more of a holistic practitioner.
I found, well, I went to somebody that I actually went to, which I need to mention the hospital I went to, which was Dana-Farber Cancer Institute up in Boston. And I loved his approach, or the answer he gave me. He basically said that at this time, we need to save your magic bullets. And that if we were to go the chemo route, there are no guarantees. So my thinking was, well, if there's no guarantees, why would I go that route? And he, you know, he sent me home and he said, we're gonna do watchful waiting, and these are the key things I want you to pay attention to. That was what opened the door for me to explore the whole holistic path.
And so what was your very first step after having that conversation with the doctor?
Well, when he told me my options and, you know, we can do this or we can do this, and I took it in and I said, you know what, I think I like watchful waiting. I'm going to go home, and I'll never forget, my mom looked at me because she went to the appointment with me, and she said, you need to go do acupuncture. And it was funny because I said, wow, really? I said, Mom, I have cancer. And she goes, yeah, I want you to go do some acupuncture. And I had never done acupuncture before. So, again, just being honest, yes, I work with the body, and I'm very fortunate. My mom has spoken all over the world and on stress and has written 10 books. I'm very knowledgeable there. But acupuncture was a whole new world, and I said, okay, I'll go try it. And that's when the true journey began of me really learning the whole, that whole new world, is what I call it.
Thank God for your mother.
Yes.
And it's really funny how you write about her in your book.
Mm. Uh-oh. How do we write about her?
you kind of made fun of her.
Uh-oh. Well, you know, we have that Italian kind of way about us. It was, I think what I wanted people to realize or to understand, you know, mother-daughter relationships are not always the greatest. Some have great ones, and I'm so happy for them, but ours was a struggle. And I think I wanted to share part of that process with people so that they could understand that you could actually come full circle with that.
And so you're coming full circle. That is your awakening, and that's one of your very first, I think, how you write in your book, your eight little lessons. And I think your first lesson was your awakening. And and so in that lesson, you learn to stop and to be quiet. So my question to you, coming from an Italian family, I think you said from New York originally, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I know the profile, so I would imagine you weren't quiet all your life with Mom.
Never.
Exactly.
There was a lot of chaos. You had the, you know, I was very fortunate in a odd way. I had my granny who was a part of the process, and I also was fortunate that I had my great-granny. We used to call her Little Grandma. She was a part of my life till I was 16. So I had three Italian, you know, strong women, and these were strong because they were the breadwinners, which was kind of interesting as well. So they had a lot of say in what was going on in the household.
Well, you know what? I grew up in a similar background, not Italian though, Greek. So
same thing, yeah.
Same thing.
Yep.
So that's why I was able to relate, especially to your first little lesson on inventing your own miracles, and that being awakened and learn to stop and be quiet. So you did. You stopped. You were quiet, and you finally listened to your mother, and you went for the acupuncture, and that opened up your world.
It And I need to preface this and really let people understand, again, the dynamics of my mother, because back in the day my parents got divorced and I was 12 years old, and you know, that just created so much, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, sadness, shame, la, 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 la. I was so angry at my mom for many, many years. And when she told me to go do the acupuncture, like, you know, I never listened to my mother. But for the first time in 42 years, one, I flew up to Boston and got the second opinion or third opinion based on her. And two, I did the acupuncture. And I do believe that walking through that door saved my life.
Well,
being the acupuncture door.
Are you still in contact with the acupuncturist?
The irony, I use that word, is we actually, my studio is next door to his.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you knew him before you were even diagnosed?
No. How it worked, it was funny. His practice used to be in the next town over, and my studio's grown so much that I actually needed a bigger spot. And one day he was moving in, and there happened to be a location next to him open. I said, you know, I think this looks like a great place. And so we ended up being next door to each other. Just kind of funny.
Well,
but I did.
Everything happens for a reason, you know, and I think I should preface how you came to Aging Younger Radio. I think our listeners would appreciate this story. David and I, we had a seminar in the clinic back in April, and it was on all natural healing, on the reconnection and reconnective healing. And one of the participants, who you know, B. Colburn, was attending, and I received an email from her that same very night after the seminar. And I had never met her before, and she said, I need to come and see you next week and give you a book. And that's all she said. And so she made an appointment, and she came in, Lori, as I had told you, and lo and behold, she gave me the book, I Am Living to Tell. And I've been trying to track you down since about May, I think, but nobody ever answered your phone. But it was, I said to her, what prompted you to take a trip back from Deerfield Beach? It's about a half-hour drive from where she lives to our clinic, and give me this book. She said, you need to have this book. I see what you're doing in your clinic. You need to connect with this woman.
Wow.
And there is synchronicity in all of our coming together. And that's why when I tell you in our little plaza where our clinic is that there is an open bay one door down, you belong here with another studio.
Well, you never know, right?
You never know. But going back to your journey, so you went to the acupuncturist and you started your treatments and you did your wakeful watching. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about it. Well, so you were now awakened. You are now listening.
Yes.
What followed?
So I walked through the door of the acupuncturist, and the real reason or why I was told to go do acupuncture by my mother that I never listened to, was because she felt that that would help de-stress me. And that was part of, you know, whenever we have anything that is not, whenever our body is out of balance or is not in harmony, we want to find things that will create that balance within the body. So she said, go do acupuncture. Okay, so I go in and I make my appointment, la, 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 la. And now, mind you, I've never done acupuncture before. But for some reason, I walked through this door and I felt this sense of peace and calmness or serenity, and it felt good. So I sit down with the good doctor and I tell him what I have, and he was actually being a little weird with me. He said, "So you're not doing chemo right now?" I said, "No." He said, "Oh, okay. So why are you here?" And I said, "I don't know. I'm supposed to de-stress my body." So long and short, he says, "Okay," and he reads my diagnosis. He's got all my blood work, la, 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 la. We go in, and they start to put all the needles in, which do not, they don't necessarily hurt, but it was interesting because I felt like I had 50 needles in me from my toes all the way to the crown of my head. And you have to lie there for 25 minutes, and then they come back and they take them out. And I thought, okay, that was interesting. But really, what I believe was the true part of, I don't know, ridding this out of my body was there was a formula designed for me that I needed to drink. And so there was this bag waiting on the counter, and they basically said I needed to drink 30 ounces of this brewed tea every day.
Who told you this?
The doctor.
The acupuncturist.
Yes. Well, he's okay. A Chinese medicine doctor, yes.
So what tea was it?
Well, it was specifically, if people understand Chinese medicine, the Chinese medicine doctors have 7 years of practice. And so if they're very knowledgeable, they'll be an acupuncturist, but they will also know, they'll also have some kind of a certificate or whatever you want to call it with the herbs. And so he had designed a specific formula for me based on what he read and my blood work, and it was to support my liver and my spleen.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the nastiest tasting, most disgusting tea you would ever drink in your entire life.
Would you drink it?
Yes, I did. it was not easy, and there's a lot of funny stories in my book about it because it was, again, I didn't know if the cancer was going to kill me or if the tea was going to kill me.
It couldn't have been bad, Lori. Come on.
It was so bad that when I would brew it, and I'm telling you, I had to brew it for 45 minutes, my dogs would, like, leave the kitchen. That's how bad it was.
How long were you on this tea? How long did you drink?
That's the other part of this really cool story, because I became possessed with the tea. At first, I spit it out, and I thought, somebody's trying to kill me. I don't know, cancer's going to kill me, the tea's going to kill me, whatever. But as I started to understand it and what it was doing, and again, this is in my book and in my story, I actually became addicted to it, and I drank this horrible, nasty, brutal tea for 3 years, and it didn't matter where I was. I'll never forget, I have a really funny story. I was in New York with my mom. We had just gone to my doctor's appointment, and I literally, my tea traveled everywhere with me, so either I'd brew it before, or I'd brew it, actually, I would ask the hotel to do it for me. They thought, who is this crazy person? But one time they brewed it so much that they brewed it down to nothing. And I think they, like, lost it. You know, like, they couldn't find it. It was somewhere. I went into the kitchen of the, Park Avenue, wherever the heck I was. And I went into the kitchen. I'm like, I need my tea. And I started crying because they couldn't find my tea. I mean, I became possessed with my tea.
Do you still drink it today?
No.
Okay, so
how'd you kick the habit?
Well, here's how I looked at the process of the tea. The tea did its job. So 2009, when I had my blood work done at Dana-Farber in Boston, and they said, your blood is so clean, we can't find a trace of, you know, this cancer. I opted at that point, I drank it for about a year more, but I kind of did like a more of a wellness tea drink. I decided that that was going to be my magic bullets. So God forbid if I needed to go back to it. And I'll go in and he'll always, if I need something, you know, I'll get my tea. But I'm not doing that specific tea right now.
So, Lori, that's incredible and it's wonderful how you were able to, your blood being clean. Are you doing blood work every year, every what now?
Oh, too? Yeah.
Just one.
Well, originally it was every 3 months for the first 2 or 3 years, and then we went to 6 months. And then, yes, I go every year for my, we do a whole panel of my blood work.
But there was more to your healing than just the acupuncture, your
mm-hmm.
mother pushing you, and the
mm-hmm.
tea.
Correct.
So, yeah, and I think it's important because that's going to bring in the total healing of the body, mind, spirit aspect of it. But before we do that, Lori, we're going to take a very short break, and we will be right back. So please don't go away. And this is Stephanie with Aging Younger Radio. We'll be right back.
Look your best, safely without surgery. We offer non-surgical facelift treatments, complete with professional skincare products utilizing magical copper. The Anti-Aging Clinic shows you weight management and body contouring, all safe and non-invasive. Turn back the hands of time with growth factor spray. Antioxidants are our first line of defense against aging. Our professionals can scientifically verify if your vitamins are working with new laser technology. Get your score by calling today.
That good health and longevity will follow. The brain and endocrine system control your body, including things like weight gain. When your hormones are out of balance, your body cannot function properly. Call the Anti-Aging Clinic and begin to age younger today. Call 954-742-4430. That's 954-742-4430.
We're back, and thank you for staying with us. And so, Lori, back to your journey to your health. Talk to us. Tell us how you integrated mind, body, spirit. You know, we talked a little bit about the body, about the tea and the acupuncture, and I believe the acupuncture helped also to open up the chi or the energy and let the energy flow. And I think that's the one of the main benefits of acupuncture is for the energy to clean itself. Am I right?
Correct.
Okay.
And again, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
So that was interesting to me that I didn't know anything about meridians and, you know, I used to, like, hyper-focus in when he was placing certain needles, you know, installing them in my body, which, again, they don't hurt. But to hit, like, say, my spleen, there'd be a meridian point in my foot. And all of that just fascinated me. And so then I thought, okay, what an interesting, you know, this is really neat. Let me see what else is out there. And so he, being the doctor, said, you know, you really might want to consider, or he actually insisted, I shouldn't say consider, that I needed to start doing Qigong. And I thought, okay, what the heck is that? And so that was part of, if I did the acupuncture and the herbs, I had to do, I believe it was 15 minutes of Qigong a day. He actually wanted me to do it twice a day, and there were 8 moves that I was to do, and this was to help boost my T cells by like 20%. So, again, I started doing that, and what I loved about it was that you were really incorporating this cool concept of this specific breath that you did with the move. And what I loved about that was that it was the same kind of feeling that I did when I was teaching, or I do teach Pilates. So
that went right through my mind when you said that, because Pilates is basically all about breathing techniques, right?
Yes. So every move, every stretch, every reach, you incorporate an inhale and an exhale. And that was the same with the Qigong. And, again, I would do that, and I would get this high feeling. So I thought, okay, so this is really neat. We've got acupuncture, Chinese medicine, Qigong. And then the coolest thing happened to me, amongst many cool things. I had a woman that, I had decided that I needed to do some other body work, and I was introduced to Reiki. And again, I'm embarrassed to say I didn't really know what Reiki was at the time. And I had a session, and I'll never forget, after having a session, and imagine this, you have a treatment and you've never been touched.
No, I totally get it, because I facilitate, in our clinic, I facilitate reconnective healing sessions. And reconnective healing is it encompasses all of the non-touching of the healing. So the Reiki, the Qigong, everything would fall under the umbrella of the reconnective healing. So, yes, and it's totally hands-off. And to share a little bit with you, because we're on this subject, we have a client who's been with us since we've pretty much opened the doors of this clinic back in 2001, and she had a stroke, which was a post-surgical complication, and because she was maintaining herself being as healthy as she was, she survived that stroke, and she survived the heart attack, which was all medically induced, I should say, from the drugs that the pharmaceutical industry had put her on. But she was still having problems with one of her arms. She did not have full range of motion, Laurie. So she came for a session here at the clinic 2 weeks ago, and the first thing that she said after the 30 minutes on that table, "Oh, my God, Stephanie." I said, "No, it wasn't me. It was exactly that. It is, oh, my God," because it's all about reconnecting to source. And she proceeded to move her arm in a complete 360 rotation, and she had absolutely no pain. And then I called her up the next day. I said, "Rena, how's your arm?" She said, "Steph, I still don't have any pain." I said, "Rena, you're not going to have any pain because you had a spontaneous healing."
Mm-hmm. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Yes.
Yes, it works. It works.
It so does work, and I think people struggle with, they don't understand energy work, or however, whatever, you know, word you use. It's hard because they can't see it. Does that make sense?
It's intangible,
yes.
Lori, until such time that you notice the changes. And you know, the way I see it, the healings that occur are the healings that the universe believes that individual needs. There was another person who I facilitated a healing with, and with this other individual, it alleviated a lot of her depression, and she was able to come down on her psychotropic drugs. So everybody's individual. In your case, the healing helped facilitate the cleansing of the blood.
Yes. Yes.
So what else did you do?
Okay, so we did the Reiki, which absolutely loved. And I just want to reiterate again about the Reiki, besides that it has so many benefits to it. But when I would leave my sessions, I felt this sense of peace and calmness. And then I got a note in my mailbox, and this was a woman that, it was unbelievable, lived around the corner from me, and she said, I think I can help. And she was actually an energy healer. And again, I had no clue what's an energy healer, what is that going to do for me? And it opened up so many avenues for me that it taught me how to actually go inside my body in a very odd way. It's hard to explain, but I did a lot of visualization, and I just did this work that really helped me see things from a different perspective. So if I was feeling in a dark place, I could shift it. It was more the mind part of it, where it would help me shift to a light place. Instead of coming from fear, I would come from love, and I just had to learn how to shift my thinking a lot.
And don't you believe that part of that has to do with your connecting again to the Almighty Creator?
100%. I'll never forget, she taught me about Archangel Michael and Raphael, and we would go to those places, and absolutely, these were places that I had to believe, and I had to have that belief in order to be where I am.
And it's a wonderful place.
It's so good, I can't even explain it. Yes.
Well, yeah, I can relate, because every time I facilitate a healing, I'm reaping the benefits as well. And, you know, healings, everybody does, 30 minutes on the table. I kind of keep our clients 35, 40 minutes, because I don't want to stop. The feeling is so incredible, because I'm receiving the light and the energy from the universe, and I'm just channeling it into whoever. And another interesting story is, I have a friend who is long distance, and she has her challenges. So she popped up, a picture of her popped up on Facebook, and I sat there and I did a long distance healing on her. I haven't spoken to her yet, but it's going to be very interesting to see if she if there have been any changes in her challenges.
Yes, I'm sure there have been.
Yes. So. Bring in the. So now we're connecting. We're connecting body, mind, and spirit. What? Let's go back a little bit to the body. What did, besides the tea, what did you do on the nutrition end? Because cancer has a lot to do with nutrition.
Yes. So, most important, that's exactly the first thing I went to my, we're very fortunate. We have a really cool, organic, healthy, whole foods type of store around us. So I went in there, and there was actually an expert there that was aware of very specific things that could help boost my immune system. And if that was what was key, what were the key foods that I needed to eat, and what did I need to eliminate? And in Chinese medicine, which they what they had me do is I took dairy out of my regime, which was a good thing because I actually had allergies, and so I never realized, not that I eat a lot of dairy, but okay, we eliminated that. And then I became aware or more aware of how our foods being, like our chicken, and say if you got chicken or meat or fish, anything, most of that stuff is induced with hormones or antibiotics and whatever the hell they're boosting them up with, and that's not good for us. So I started focusing on those things, like I'm not going to eat anything that has any of that in it. I never, ever, ever ate anything out of a box, and I really just shopped the perimeter of the store and just kept myself very clean with my eating. Lots of fruit, well, vegetables, you know, protein, and eliminated dairy.
But do you realize that, unfortunately, because of the way our society is today and the way that we pick our fruits and vegetables and way too early on before they actually mature on Mother Nature's umbilical cord, and the fact that they have to sit on a shelf, sit for a while before they're shipped, do you not supplement? Because those vegetables, fruits and vegetables, they don't contain all of the nutrients and the micronutrients and the phytonutrients that our body requires. So do you supplement?
Well, my supplementation, and yes, I do, but at the time was my Chinese medicine. That was kind of really keeping my liver and my spleen really strong. And so when you do Chinese medicine, they didn't want you to bring in anything else. But as far as now, yes, I believe that you're right. We are lacking all of our foods are lacking all of that, and there should be some kind of really good supplementation, though.
Well, Laura, I hope you go to our website and take a look at the Rejuvenous brand of supplements that David and I have created, because one of our 8 steps to aging younger, the very first step is supplementation for the very reason just finished discussing, and then it falls right into our second step, which is to build the immune system, and unless you have the proper supplementation or the proper micronutrients, nutrients and everything else that the body requires, the immune system will not be healthy and alive. And
I agree.
So anyway, if you just to let our listeners know once again that the Anti-Aging Clinic, Aging Younger, has the Rejuvenous brand of supplements. And one day when you have a chance, take a look on our website, which is livelonger123.com. But, Lori, you know, tell people where they can get your book. Before I say, you know, I always forget to do this, and I'm terrible. And people need to read your book because it's a powerful story. It's a powerful journey that you have embarked on, and you are still on that journey. And now I feel that your journey is to empower others to live a healthier lifestyle through your own story on regaining your own health. So how can people get I Am Living to Tell?
Yes. So I never intended to write a book. That has not been something that I even desired to do. But when your doctor looks at you, being, again, I went to Dana-Farber Cancer Institute in Boston, and he says, we've never seen this happen, and you're a 1%. And then you go out with the doctor for lunch, and they said, you need to tell your story. And then you actually get on Dr. Oz, and he says, I've never seen this, and you're in spontaneous healing and la, 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 which is funny. You know, you write your story. It's on Amazon, so you can just go to Amazon and put in my name, which is LaurieBeck, and it'll take you to I Am Living to Tell, or actually my website, so which is LaurieBeck.com as well.
And Laurie, also I'd like for you to tell people about your Pilates studio because that's also part of the healing. I do Pilates, and I love Pilates, and I wish I did it more than the once a week I do it, and I'm ashamed to say that I only do it once a week because after my one-hour session on that mat, I feel like $1 million. And I bring in the reconnective energies. I bring in the universal energies when I'm lying there. I just tap into them. So it makes it even more powerful. So tell people a little bit about Pilates and how that has helped. I believe that was probably your saving grace, that you did not succumb to the cancer and you were able to overcome and go the holistic route because your body was strong enough due to your Pilates.
Well, and I agree with you. So the beauty of what got me into Pilates was I was in a car accident. I have lower back issues, and I suffered. But I refused to take any kind of drugs because we come from the mindset that, you know, we're going to do it organically or holistically. So I walked through the door, started my Pilates actually 20 years ago. And I instantly fell in love because when I left my session, I had this euphoric feeling. And it was an amazing feeling. And I thought, okay, I really like this. But then I also started to see the strength and the benefits of what it did for my body. For me, when I got sick, so originally when I did Pilates, I did it to strengthen the body and to keep my core strong and to support my spine, being my neck and my lower back. But then when I got sick, I actually shifted my thinking and my way of teaching because I have my own studio, and I started teaching from the inside out. And I started making people aware of each move that you incorporated being a specific move that you were actually enhancing or benefiting different, say, an organ, or, you know, you were increasing your expansion of your breath or however you want to look at it. And it became actually a whole new way of teaching, which made even my teaching deeper.
So what move would it be for the spleen and the liver?
It's hard to explain because I'd have to have you in my studio, but you would be on the machine and it would be called stomach massage. That would be a move that I would consider that would help support that because you're going to kind of be in like a C curve and you're going to be really tucked in tight to the machine, and then you're going to expand and come in and go out. And those kind of moves, anything that you do where you're kind of cutting off the blood supply, being you're crunched in and then you're lengthening, that's going to open up those areas and get movement to your spleen is on your liver's on the right side under your rib cage, and your spleen is on the left side. So it's kind of cool.
Yes, it is, and what I foresee that you can market to a whole segment of patients out there, Lori. You can open up a whole new market. You can help people who are on their own journey to health, fighting the cancer, and teach them the right moves and how to breathe, because the breathing is so essential. And respiration is what keeps us alive, you know, brings the oxygen to our cells and takes away the bad carbon dioxide, which is the byproduct. And when you don't have respiration, you don't have life. And when the cells lack that, that's when you start, you know, what is the word, apoptosis, the cell death. And I see you opening up a whole new market up in your studio.
Well, I'm actually, it's interesting you say that. I'm in the process of a product that I've designed, but it's more of a something that will have the benefits of teaching people how to use their body in certain ways and yes, teach them how to go to those places and to, like you said, fuel those areas.
Lori, we have just about 9 minutes left in this hour. And I think it's really important for you to just go in those 9 minutes, discuss your little lessons on inventing one's own miracles, because life is a miracle. And unfortunately, so many people don't realize that we have the precious gift of life, and that being a miracle. So can you talk to us about those 7 lessons that you learned on your journey to health?
Well, I'm not going to put them in chronological order, but I will break down a few of them. When I first got sick, which I was completely, you know, you go into a state of shock, and then actually I became paralyzed and in disbelief, and I was 42 years old, and it just, none of it made sense, because I thought, and I want to preface that I came from a very healthy mindset. So the first lesson I learned, besides being awakened and starting to be quiet and listen, is that my mind, or however I was thinking, I needed to create a shift in that. And I didn't know how poisoned my mind was. But I also had a lot of things that happened throughout my life, like we all do. I had challenges. I had sadness. I had abandonment. I had things that were unresolved. And so I had to, the biggest lesson for me was I needed to learn to forgive myself. And once I put that into play, that started shifting everything. It was kind of like, you know what? I'm good. I'm okay. Once I forgave myself and I started realizing that the only way I'm going to get healthy or good is to start honoring myself and infusing myself with love. Because I didn't do that. I never felt good about myself, which is ironic because, you know, if you look at the picture of me, right?
You're a beautiful woman. You're
like, how can you not love yourself, right? What's wrong with me? And I don't mean that in a pretentious way, because I'm not pretentious, but it's like, why do I not have these good feelings about myself? So, okay, forgiveness, loving myself. I had to look at my situation or my diagnosis and say, okay, how do I want to get through this? Do I want to approach it and be fearful every day? No, because that doesn't work. Or do I want to say, you know what? I'm going to give this up to a higher power, and everybody has their belief. Mine was, I was thankful from the minute I woke up to the minute I went to bed. And I would be thankful for this moment, for this day, for this time. And then I would say my serenity prayer, and I gave it up to God. But again, everybody has their system. I could look at a situation. Was I going to approach it with negative, or was I going to go at it with positivity? And I have a funny story. Mom and I were in the hospital, and I was walking down the corridor, however you say that, and there were all these horrible, horrible names on the ceiling. Like, you know, I couldn't even understand them, but they were certain rooms that you were to go in to have treatments done, cancer treatments. And I am literally freaking out, going, oh, my God, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. That room sounds terrible. And my mom could feel my body, like, getting tighter and tighter. She goes, what is wrong with you? And I said, I'm reading the signs, and they're just saying terrible names. And she looked at me, and she goes, well, stop reading them. And I had this aha moment. It was like, yeah, why am I doing that? Just stop, you know? Like, and so I learned to shift and reshift my thinking. And so I learned so many lessons. I mean, they're all in my book, but key ones were to eliminate stress, surround myself with positivity, and only be with people that I knew were full of love and kindness.
You know, you and I have spoken a lot over the last couple of weeks, just getting ready for tonight's show, and I feel I know a little bit about who you are. And then you must have really done a total metamorphosis, because I would never have thought in a million years that you did not love yourself, that there was a time to not love yourself, yeah, because of who you are today. So yeah, your story is truly an inspirational story, and there are a lot of people who can benefit from your book, which is I Am Living to Tell, which is a memoir by Lori Beck. And I do encourage those people who do need the help, because there, I know so many, even family members who are distant, far away, physically far away, and I try to counsel or mentor, a better word, mentor them over the phone, but their self-esteem is so low, and I don't get it. I've never lived that way, and I never thought you did. Let's just put it that way, Lori, because of your upbeatness. You're just so totally up all the time. Mm. And you're tenacious.
And so are you. But I think the word for me was I never felt worthy. And I think a lot of women have that issue, or however you want to call it, is that I never felt like I deserved, or, you know, and I think that was just messages that I'm not blaming it on anybody. I'll blame it on myself. But you know what? I have shifted that big time, and I am so grateful and so thankful, and I do feel worthy of everything that comes into my life now.
Well, it shows. It reflects. It reflects in your book. It reflects on just listening to you speak. You're an incredible woman. I'm sure Dr. Oz must have loved having you on his show.
It was a neat experience. I wish I could have really exuded who I really was. You know, it was kind of controlled.
You were controlled?
But that's okay. Well, you know, I didn't get to really be expressive of how I really wanted to be.
I would imagine you were a little nervous. I would have been a nervous wreck if I
like, extremely. But that's okay.
But, you know, Lori, we're down to about 1 minute left of showtime. So how do I say thank you so much for taking time from your own busy schedule and sharing with Aging Younger Radio your journey? I was inspired when I got the book. It took me 2 months to track you down, but I got you. And I guess that's the tenacity in me. And here we are telling your story, and I believe there's a lot that we're going to do together. And you yourself said the same thing last week.
Yes. So I would like to end that, first of all, anybody that is diagnosed with some kind of, it doesn't have to be cancer, whatever you're diagnosed with, don't focus on the message that's being delivered, which is you don't die from the disease, you die from the knowing. Because somebody says to you, you know what, you have this and you got 6 months, and then boom, those people die in 6 months. Don't focus on that. Focus on that we are in charge and we can take control, and thank God there's people like you out there that have these clinics and that are so passionate about supporting people with what you have to offer. And I'm equally thankful that you did track me down, because we need to be on a mission of getting people aware that there are things that we can be responsible for. We are our own advocates, and that we can, the things that you do and the things that I do, we are here to help, and it's all out of goodness.
Yes, it is, and it's all out of love, and we've gone over the hour. That's okay, because it's still recording and it will be on the archive. So this the link to this show, it will be in the on-demand episodes, and you can use it, Lori, and put it on your website as well. And it will be featured on Blog Talk Radio this coming Friday for 24 hours. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for sharing your inspirational story with Aging Younger Radio, and tell you that I love you. And
love you, too.
Well, thank you, and I'm going to say thank you to all of our listeners, and David and I, we will be back next week, and until then, have a healthy week, and God bless you all.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. You've been listening to Aging Younger with David and Stephanie Tippy. You've just heard that alternatives to the sickness industry are alive and well, helping you to age younger. The Anti-Aging Clinic is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill, Florida. You can reach David and Stephanie at 954-742-4430. That phone number again is 954-742-4430. And you can learn more about them on their website, livelonger123.com. Join us every Wednesday and Friday at 1 o'clock for Aging Younger on 1040 WLVJ.